Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Jaina. Welcome to our program, The Yehuda Project, on the first day of the week. It's Sunday. Again, it's coming around so fast. You know what? It's like, whoa, I have to say, slow down, time. You're moving too fast. But you know what? Let it come. Let it come. First of all, I would like to say welcome to everyone that's on the call. I'm glad that you guys have come today, that you're diligent, you come, you're faithful. It means a lot. I was talking to Malka yesterday, I mean today, and she told me I was kind of sounding a little rude yesterday. And if I came across as rude or bossy or anything, please accept my apology. I do not ever mean to be that way or to sound that way. I just, you know, we have so much to give to the listening audience and the people that are out there that I have so many minds on our show that I want everybody to just speak up so they can hear you. They know it's just not me, you know, but I don't ever mean to be rude, so please forgive me if I sounded aggressive in any way. That is never my intention. So I just wanted to put that out there, you know, because sometimes, you know, I'd be like, come on, y'all speak up. Is somebody out there? Do I need to? I don't mean any harm by it at all whatsoever. But I did enjoy the class yesterday. I did put the YouTube video up there today, and it is it's catching on. People is they listening to it. You know, I think it was an excellent class. I think that, you know, every time the Most High gives me something like that, I always go back over it later and be like, dang, I should have said this, and dang, I should have brought this scripture in. But you know what? It went exactly where it was supposed to go. So I just want some feedback from yesterday. Somebody, how did it go for you yesterday? Was it good? Because I know I enjoyed that class yesterday. When I got off the phone, I had to take a few minutes and just worship the Most High. Because you know what? Sometimes we forget about that part of it. He's still worthy to be praised. He still deserves all the worship and the praise. Yes, we know it's a lifestyle that we live, but he still deserves for us to lift up holy hands and say, I just thank you. You're worthy of all the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. You're worthy of it. And I just took time yesterday after the class to just do that. Because for Elohim to put a story like this together, it is just magnificent. I mean, nobody could just do this. And it's just when you read it, it's powerful. You know, and the way that Yisrael is in those scriptures and how it was precepts, it's just a beautiful thing. At least I think so anyway. So, you know, what about you guys out there? Anybody want to push one and give your opinion about did it? Because some of you all have heard that teaching before. You know, did we come at it a different angle? Were you enlightened more? Was somebody struggling and on the fence with that and wasn't quite sure? And then when it was taught yesterday, it kind of opened up your eyes and things were clear. I just want to know what your feedback was on it. Hold on. Area code 904, your mic is open. You on the air. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, shalom. As usual, it was an excellent, a very good class. I enjoyed every minute of it. One thing I think that was cleared up yesterday was that now Israel and Yahawashah, I think that was really cleared up yesterday. I think most people got that. And I made a lot of sense yesterday, but thank you so much for that lesson. We appreciate it always. It was good.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so glad. I thank you so much for that, you know, because I got something out of it. You know what I mean? And that was the Most High doing because he put that on my heart to do that yesterday. And I got something out. I mean, it was simple as A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. It really was. You know, and it's like, wow. So I'm glad that you liked it. I really am glad. You know, like I said, I put it on YouTube last night, and, you know, it's really picking up some traction, which is good because we always want people to understand. You know, it's not so much that we get the glory, but that the Most High gets the glory and that we're able to show the people the scriptures according to the scriptures. And that's why I stay in the Bible. That's exactly why I don't go outside of the Bible, because that way there's no dispute. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Anybody else have a comment or a question, a feedback or anything that you would like to give about yesterday's class? Because I know a lot of people, some people was like, well, you know, hold on just a minute, brother. Area code 478, brother, brother, you're rocking.
Oh, my God. Oh, I got a lot out of the class. I think it was probably, in my opinion, one of the best that you've given. It was great. And like brother just said, you know, now that was cleared up, that Yahawashah, you know, I know who he is. I know what he can't do. And it was as simple as 1, 2, 3. You know, it was great class. I said that I didn't say much, but I listened to the whole class and absorbed all of that in. It was great.
Well, thank you, thank you. You know what, that makes me feel so much, it makes me feel so good when you know, the listening audience gets something out of it, because it's so important, you know, that we do this, because who better to teach it than Israel? Nobody else can do it but Israel. And when Yah steps in it and does it and puts it together, it's ABC 1, 2, 3. I mean, because we started in Genesis. We explained who he was in Genesis. You know, and then, you know, like I said, I thought about, you know, when he said no man has seen the Father at any time. You know, I forgot even about Mount Sinai when Moses wanted to see the Father. Like, you know, let me, can I see your face? And he clearly told him, no man has ever seen my face and lived. So that eliminates the Father from the equation as far as his interaction face-to-face with man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, wow, the scriptures have been telling us this forever. But because we weren't really in tune to really listen to what the scriptures were saying, no, he said, no man has ever seen my face and lived. He said, but I'm going to put you in the rock, in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. And I'm as I pass by, you'll see my backside, and I'm going to let you see my glory. And that's all Moshe got a chance to see. And even from that, his face was shining as bright as the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that when the world talks about this God that we serve, that we have had interactions with one-on-one, it is not directly the Father. It's just not him. Not him. He too powerful for you. You'd burn up if you were to see him face-to-face. You know.
We said, you know, the thing I got out of it is that, you know, last night I thought about a few things that, and I think about how far off we were when we was in Christianity from where we are right now. We are so far ahead of where we were. It's just amazing. Because you could have told me this about 7, 8 years ago, I would have looked at you sideways. I would look at you crazy. But now that it's time and time for the truth to come out. So you see him. You see him. He's moving through the earth right now. Things are happening. You know. So we are able to understand and see. You know, I give him thanks and praise for that, for just being able to be able to see this, because a lot of people can't see what we see.
No, absolutely not. And his name is being proclaimed in the earth. His name is not just the children of Israel, but he's making sure now that they know that he is Israel. You know what I mean? I mean, that's some big stuff right there. He's making sure the world knows that he is Israel. You know? And at first when I put it on YouTube, I went back and it was like no views. I'm like, wow, nobody's watching it. And I'm telling you, when I tell you it's picking up steam, it's really starting to pick up some serious steam, because it's like, you know, because Christianity always calls him God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's too vague. I mean, who are you talking about?
You could be talking about any one of the number of gods that came to the other nations. You could be talking about any one of them.
Yes. And he got a name. He makes it very clear. You understand? And you know what? You know how many times I have quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name. You know how many times I've quoted that in preaching, in teaching, and in prayer, and it didn't even click?
No, and it didn't. You're absolutely right. I was thinking that also, but it never occurred. It never clicked. All the time I was in the church, it never clicked. Even in the beginning parts, me being a Hebrew Israelite, it never clicked. And now it's all came full circle, because that makes all the sense in the world. It's very simple, but we just didn't see it.
And that's what we can say to the world today. We understand that you don't understand what we're talking about, because the same way we didn't see that, you can't see this. And he has to reveal this to you, who we are and what our lineage is. This is something that has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. You just can't just, you and many pastors are angry today because they'll say, as long as I've been preaching, God would have showed this to me by now. Not if it's not your time to wake up, he's not going to show it to you. It would have to be revealed.
Exactly.
Apple stuff, I'm telling you, I am just so, you know, I'm just so elated and supercharged, you know, that he's really using us to be able to get this message out. And I'm not saying that we're the first one that ever came upon this. I can't say that, but I know that for me, it supercharged me. I'm like, wow, you know.
Well, it's the first time I've ever heard it. It's, you know, I mean, I listen to quite a few different groups and all that, but it's the first time I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing. It is definitely a blessing. It is something that, you know, we as a people have to really begin to understand how powerful he is and how, you know, that he was an expression. But you know what got me the most is that everybody says that God is a spirit. And that thing right there, I struggled with that for many, many years, even when I was in Christianity, because I always, you know, Genesis is my favorite book from the beginning, you know, because I always struggle with the make man in our own image. And I'm like, well, how is he a spirit if he got an image and a likeness? That's not making a whole lot of sense. But then, you know, as I begin to understand it, he revealed to me he's a spirit being. And I said, okay, well, I can even get with the spirit being, even though I can't, because for you to be a spirit being and you created all this, my brain won't even let me understand the complexity of your mind. I ain't going there. But the thing that got me yesterday, that clicked yesterday, was when he wrestled with Jacob. I was like, how could he wrestle with a spirit being?
He can't.
He had to have some substance to him if he wrestled with Jacob. It's incredible. It's just incredible. It's just like, wow. You know, it's just incredible. I mean, we haven't really even touched the surface of Yahawashah, the people, the man that they call Jesus. We haven't even really begun to touch the surface of him having the power that he had, because, you know, and when we get into this, and we're going to get into this, and I'm going to unmute Brother Uriah's mic. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. When we get into this and we understand, there are times after the resurrection that he shapeshifts and changes the shape of himself where they don't know who they're talking to.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what, Brother Wright? I think people are afraid of it. I really do. I think that people are afraid to understand what they're dealing with. Even though they say God and they say he made all this and he's magnificent. You know, he told me something a long time ago when I was in Christianity. He said, they have reduced me down to a light bill paying God. I'm so much more than that. You know, and I'm like, you know what? That is true. Because of the way Christianity presents it, they present it like it's a resolver of problems. If you have a problem, he'll be, just call him and it's going to be all right. If you have a problem, he can fix it. If you got a bill, he can pay it. If you got problems in your home, he's the man to fix it. And he's like, I'm God. Right? You know, you don't even understand.
Wow.
I'm God. I'm not just your average everyday Joe Blow down the street with power. I made all of this. Let me open up the mic. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're there.
Oh, yeah, Shalom. So you said he shapeshifted. So he had a different face. He still was flesh.
Wait till we get there. When we get there, yes, ma'am, when we really start getting into him on his glorified side, when he resurrects from the dead, yes, ma'am. Yes, he do all kind of stuff. And he having fun. having fun with him because he don't want him to know who he is. Yes.
Okay, wow.
It's powerful when you understand who and what you're dealing with. And because of the image and because of the way it's being presented to the world, you know, it's like they don't understand his power. They don't understand. They just don't understand it. They don't get it. I think they're scared of it. I really do. But yes, ma'am, he sure did. He did a lot of things. I mean, even on the Mount of Transfiguration, when you look at that, when the disciples went up there with him on the mountain and they saw Elijah and Moshe, they was talking to him. Now, I know Moshe was dead. Elijah was caught up, but these are two beings that are in spirit form that is ministering to him. It's some powerful stuff. But because, you know, and let me tell you the dangerous part of it. The world will take this information and shape-shift it around to make it seem like it's some alien stuff. That's what they're doing. You know, like we said last week, they'll be like, well, everybody's a hybrid. It's not a big deal. They've been coming here. And how do you know the Bible is even real? You know, if you have beings that have been coming here all this time and beings, that has nothing to do with Yah, not one thing. He made all things. He even made the beings that's coming here. He is the boss. He is the head of it all. Yisrael made everything. So we have to be the one to bring truth, because even with truth, they still manipulating it and twisting it in a way so that they can further their agenda. And you have to be able to show them in the scriptures that he is Israel and that is his name. Powerful. Some powerful stuff. You know, and we're just evolving. We're just, as he's teaching, he's showing, he said, let me show you this. And like he said, like everything else was right there in our face the whole time. It's more stuff that we read over that we didn't pay attention to, because I remember when I was reading the story about Jacob and him wrestling with the man, I asked one of the sisters when I first came into this whole movement, I said, so, because the scripture said that Jacob stood up and hiked up on his hip and walked away. I was like, so does he walk with a limp? She said, I think he does. These are things, you know what I'm saying, that nobody's really, they're not talking about. But why? Because of Christianity. Christianity had us in a place, we was in a mess. We really was. We was in a mess. We was too busy listening to this from somebody else's perspective that wasn't an Israelite. And you have to be able to break this down as he begins to show you. And like he told me, slow down. Just slow down. You're reading too fast. Slow down. These things are in here for a reason. Jacob walked with a limp.
Yep.
He did. He walked with a limp. And nobody even thought about that. You know, Daniel was Daniel, did they turn Daniel into a eunuch? I would be willing to say yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, nobody talks about that. It's like, you know. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, it says that, and this is the scripture, Genesis 32 and 31. It says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He halted. He hopped up on his thigh, and they said, therefore, the children of Israel eat not the shenu, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the she-knew that shrank. So he walked with a lance, and we read it too fast. We just go through and we read it way too fast. So I think it's just fascinating. It's just utterly just fascinating. You know, even when you think about the Holy Spirit having her own manifestation and her own form. And she has to be a she, because it was in Genesis 1, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So there has to be a female there somewhere. She has to be there. Powerful. Powerful. Ooh, y'all, we serve a mighty Elohim. You hear me? I mean, he is mighty. He is powerful. You know? And he is really powerful, but when you understand the whole Mount Sinai, and you know what's so happening now, Brother Yerushalayim, Brother Uriah, and Sis, now all of a sudden all these people from the other nations are going over into Saudi Arabia. Now all of a sudden they're climbing the mountains and looking at the rocks and doing all the stuff that, you know, that we're unable to do. And we have to watch these people do these things over in a place that is sacred to us. That is, you know, that's the place where we met him at. That's the place where he's supposed to be coming back to. It, you know, it's really difficult. Because now they're trying to make it into, well, they're not going to let it be a tourist attraction. Because some people are saying, well, you know, you have so many, you know, sacred religious places like the Dome of the Rock and the different places around, you know, the world, that the seven wonders of the world. Why is this a place where they're able to climb the mountain and destroy certain things? They are. It's something, I'm telling you. And the thing about it is we getting ready to go meet him again. That's the biggest part. You know, we're going to meet him again. Getting ready to meet him again. You know, and that when we see him, oh, I ain't going to mess with y'all on that. I'm going to leave that alone. yes, indeed. Yes, yes, yes. There's so much to it. Oh, my goodness. There's so much to it. You know. It's so much, but I just wanted to know how you guys felt about it. How did you did it? Make it plain for you. Anybody else want to push one about yesterday's class? Was it plain? Did you guys enjoy it? What did you get? What you needed to get from it? And apologize if I felt sounded aggressive in any way. I never mean to do that, you know. But I think some people be scared to talk, and you know, we've been teaching a long time, and I know you guys are scholars. I know you know. You know, just, you know, to let it hang out, just let it flow. It's going to come. And right when you think it's not going to come, when it's time for you to minister to the right person, them scriptures just going to flow off your mouth. And it's going to shock you. It's going. Am I right or wrong?
You right.
Yeah, you definitely right.
They just flow out. You done heard them so much, it's going to just flow out. And you're going to be like, wow, I didn't even know I knew all this stuff. So don't be afraid, because this is where we do the training. This is where you rattle it off to us. You know, this is where. And then my question to you guys is, and this is what I want to know, and I'm asking this for a reason. How is it that you can know you Israel, believe in the Messiah, and not believe in the virgin birth? How is that possible?
I don't think it is.
They do.
Well, the scriptures is very clear on that, so I'm not sure how that's misinterpreted or how they think about that, but that's very clear in the scriptures.
Yep.
It is. And you like, well, how can you not believe in the power of this Elohim to the point where you have to discard certain scriptures and bring up your own precept and to make it? I don't understand that. I don't know how they don't get it. So then would they be classified the same as an unbeliever, a non-Messianic?
I don't see how you could believe on you. I wish you disregard the virgin birth and still believe in him. You know, you believe in it. To me, it seems like you're believing in a whole nother God.
It do, don't it? Ain't that what it, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, well, you know, how can you be a Messianic, and that means that you believe in the Messiah and then don't believe in the virgin birth, but believe that that Jesus was Joseph's son? How is that possible?
Not. I mean, if you really think about it, it's not.
So then what are they doing? Is it deception?
I want to say part of it is deception. You know, remember what you taught us, Sister Yana? You know, all our skin folks and our kin folks, and then there are folks that are out to derail this movement. And I think there are people in those places that purposely take a little here off and a little there add to, and that derails where the people are going, and it misleads the people.
I agree with, and you know what, and it's not like these people don't come from the church, because they do. They tell you up front, you know, we was raised in the church too. And it's like, well, how can you, I mean, I can understand that some things from the churches was incorrect and they did what they did, but how can you dismiss the virgin birth? I don't understand that, you know? I've never been able to understand that part of it. Now, the non-Messianic, I can understand him. His eyes is dark closed. He does not see the mystery of it. But the ones that claim they believe in the Messiah, and this man that you believe in is one of Joseph's children from Joseph's seed, that don't make sense to me. I mean, I've been just struggling with that. Like, how can you even convince people that that's not real? You know? Let me, area code 828, your mic is open, you're on the air.
I believe that Jesus wasn't a virgin birth, but I didn't know how to explain it until yesterday when you were reading the scriptures and you went to John 1st chapter 13th verse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when you read that, then I said, okay, that's how you explain it. So maybe a lot of people, you know, they just don't know how to explain it. But I believed it, but I didn't know how to explain it, because I felt like if Jesus was just a man, then we in trouble. But I didn't know how to explain it until you broke it down. Then I was like, okay.
But let me ask you this. If they don't know how to explain it, does it give them the right to discard it completely?
I wouldn't. I would be scared to. But I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you're dealing with an Elohim, and it really, when you discard it that way and you tell everybody that the virgin birth was something that the Catholic Church came up with, and when the scriptures are clear about what that says, when you discard it that way, you are in danger of not believing in him at all, because like you said, it's like believing in a whole other deity. It's crazy. You know, it's crazy. You know, so, I mean, you know, but then the God that we serve is so powerful, how could he not do it? How is that difficult to understand? That's why I'm confused at. And you know what? Some of these groups that believe this are the largest groups in our kingdom among our people. They are the largest groups, and it's not just one, it's many groups that believe this. And they go worldwide with this stuff. They teach this stuff worldwide, that the virgin birth is not real. The virgin birth, when the scriptures are clear, they clear. I just look and be like, wow, you know, you guys are just, I don't know. I mean, you know. But, again, like I said, as much as the truth comes out, there's always the opposite that's right behind it, trying to twist it to fit a narrative. And as much as where there's truth, there's always lie. Where there's good, there's always evil. And guess what? It dwells in the same family. So you have these groups that pop up with these teachings, and they teaching different things, going totally against scripture. And even though they're teaching this stuff, even though the scripture says different, they're teaching this stuff. And they have mass people that follow. Mass people. You know? So I struggle with that all the time. Like, wow, you know, how is this possible? But it is, because the enemy is going to always be there. Always be there to try to bring some lie to the truth. You know, it really is difficult. It is really difficult. It's just something, I'm telling you. And it is really serious. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's hard to understand. And you really have to be careful with these groups, you know, these young groups, especially these young boys, and some of the older men too. You know, that Christ actually was the Son of Yah. He was the Son of the Father. And the scripture says it clearly that was his son. And why he's not able to, if he can call Lazarus from the dead, if he can call Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus has been dead for 3 days, because I remember the class we did where we broke down the decomposition level of death at 3 days, and when he called his name, he called him three times, and each time he called his name, how that composition went to reverse itself, and we started doing it. If he can call Lazarus from the dead, he can definitely ignite that egg to be able to start to do whatever it needs to do to become living in that womb. I don't understand how that's hard to believe.
Right. And he created everything, and then to say anything other would be reducing him and his power and his glory.
That's basically where it is now. Everybody's like, okay, well, you know, and they have a big debate on that, you know, and I'm like, well, how do you miss all these scriptures? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how they come with it. And these brothers is out here doing this teaching. They are out here doing this teaching. They're out here. But guess what? If Yahawashah is one of our own brethren that has been glorified, that throws the whole story off. You got to really be, let me say something to these people and listen on. You got to really be careful with who you listen to. You got to really be careful with who you listen to. You really do. You know, and it's a long debate. I mean, some of these people have some serious debates about this, and it's not a debate. The word is plain. It's clear. It is clear. No man has ever seen the Father. No man has ever laid his eyes on Yah the Father. Nobody has. You couldn't stand in his presence. You would burn up. You know? And the same way, you know, I thought about something else. And I know I keep bringing this up, but I want to challenge you guys out there. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to know, because we don't know all of the things about our culture. We don't know all the things about our culture. The only thing that we know about our culture is what we see on hieroglyphics, the hieroglyphics that's been left behind for us to see, the books that some people have put pictures in that have been left behind that is for us to see. And in terms of how we carried ourselves, how we dressed, the things that we did. I'm challenging everybody, somebody. Now, I want you to send this to my email address. It is the, T-H-E, Yehuda. It's spelled Y as in yellow, E as in Edward, H as in Harry, U as in umbrella, D as in David, A as in apple, H as in Harry. And then the word project is P-R-O. J-E-C-T at gmail.com. It's the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Now, this is the challenge. I want you to find a picture, one picture of the Israelite men wearing pants back in the day. I just want one picture. Because every picture that I have ever seen is everybody had on tunics. There was a tunic that was a dress for a man, and there was a tunic and a dress for a female. There was a difference between a male, the male dress attire and the female dress attire. It was a difference. When I looked at that, I thought about that. I said, when you see some of the African men today that are in this country, they still wear something like a tunic. Some of them still walk around with the robe on. This is how they dress. So I want you to show me one picture, just one, that's all I need, is one picture with the Israelite men with slacks on. I want one. Because what I'm tired of is these are the same groups that's on TV telling women, you're going to hell because you're wearing pants. Now, I thought about this. I said, if you can't find a picture with Israelite men wearing pants, then you're supposed to take them off too. If that's a sin, that's not how we dressed. Now, what the Most High dropped in my spirit the other day was, if that's the case, then women should not wear the button-down shirt. You know, the dress shirt, the cotton button-down shirt, that button straight down, the sleeves button, and all of that. But when I pulled it up, because I used to sew, so I know what I'm talking about, there's a difference between men attire and female attire. I think the men's shirts, now you men, correct me if I'm wrong, does your shirt button on the right or the left?
The right.
So the men's shirts button on the right. Well, guess what? The female's blouse buttons on the left. That's the difference between your attire and our attire. Our shirts don't button on the same way with the slacks. When your slacks have a button on it and a zipper, is it on the right or on the left? They say blue jeans.
I never really thought about paying too much attention to it, but I think it is right.
Yeah, the button's on the right for men and on the left for females.
It's the females. So there is always a difference our attire and men's attire. You know, and I kept saying, why are they drilling this mess into these? Because they got these men, and the reason why I'm saying it is because I've seen a video of a specific group talking to a pastor. And the way that they're bringing these men aboard to their programs, and which I think is a great thing, the men are supposed to be the head of the house. I believe that with my whole heart. I'm not against that under no circumstance. But, you know, we have to tell our women, you know, that you can't wear no pants no more. You my wife. And most of the women have come up against you, you know, because that's against the law. But you don't believe in the virgin birth. How can you get to the point where you can tell me that wearing a pair of slacks is going to get me to hell? but you don't believe Christ was born from the Father.
Can I speak on that, Sister Diane?
Please. Please do.
It is taking stuff out of context. That's what it all boils down to. Because the scripture they use for that, it says that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and a man should wear that which pertaineth to a woman. Now, I heard a sister break that down, and I got to agree with what she said. Because if you go to that particular point in time in history, you're right. We all wore tunics, which was just a different version. No, none of us wore pants. None of us wore pants. But, like she said, there were things, when you look at that scripture, there are some things that pertain to men that a woman should not do. The woman can't be circumcised.
Right.
You know, even though some people try, that's a male only thing. Certain laws that are actually written just for males. And there are laws that are written just for females. We shouldn't try to fit into each other's shoes. We both have different roles that we have to play. And I don't think it's a thing. I think it's a domination thing for some men. When you say, you're not going to wear this, you're going to wear a dress and you're not going to wear a pant. I think that all goes into a male ego domination thing instead of what it really was. Because if you go to the book of Proverbs and you find out what a real wife is, that's not a weak person. That's a person that's able to run the household and do a whole bunch of other things. She's a blessing to her husband her family and her nation. So it's just an ego thing because it's just taking stuff out of context. I see what I want to see, not what I should see.
Right. That's the truth. Now, I want to play something for you just real quick. Just listen to this theology. And this is one of the groups. I ain't going to say their name, but just listen to this theology. Just listen.
And say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity to the elders of the city to the gate. If this thing be true, was given down to verse 20, if this thing be true, and the tokens of the virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she died because she had wrought folly in Israel. Okay? Now, this is a public example that Joseph was talking about right here. All right? Not that he was just, not that she would be pregnant, because if she had just got pregnant, nobody would see it. If they had just got married, it makes no sense to hide her because they would... You know, I mean, like the amount of growth of a baby, it doesn't change from it doesn't change that fast when it wouldn't even been an issue of him trying to hide her. You know what I mean? Of her trying to hide her. Wait, I'll give you an opportunity to break it down. I want you to understand and give me the on the same courtesy, huh?
Gotcha.
All right. So it says you know what I'm saying? So as we see in the law here, that this right here is the public example that Joseph, being a just man, is trying to hide her because he does not want her to get put to death. Why? Because we see he was minded to put her away. What does put her away mean? What does put her away mean? Put her away, that means divorce. Now we can go, hey, Brother Daniel, do you mind pulling up the blue letter and just, or just any scripture and just pull up, put her away? Right? Because that is in a lot of scriptures, and that signifies divorce. Put away means divorce. This is why he was trying to divorce her privately so she wouldn't get put to death. Right? Because he wasn't sure. Well, I mean, like, it's obviously if she's coming to you telling you that, hey, man, I got pregnant by the Holy Ghost, that you don't know what's going on here, so you're not sure. So it's either or. So you see that he's trying to put her away privately right here. It says, which goes on to the text in verse 20 when it says, but while he thought on these things, while he thought on what? Trying to divorce her secretly. right? Because he didn't want to make her a public example for her getting stoned in front of the city, in front of her father's house. It says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Now, if he has already taken unto her, like you guys say, if he's already slept with Mary, then why is the angel telling him, hey, it's okay for you to marry her? You know, even though that she's pregnant, she ain't been with another man, it's okay for you to marry her. You know what I'm saying? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that it's of Joseph. And I understand you brother's point where you're saying, you know, as far as seed, right? And I do understand that, right? But let's see real quick, right? I just wanted to make this point too real quick.
So basically what they're saying is under the law of a virgin that has her virginity is in question, you know, under the law she is supposed to be stoned. And they're trying to contemplate between whether Joseph had slept with her already, whether they were married already, or whether he was trying to put her away privately. They're still taking the word of Yah and under the law trying to justify them not believing that she conceived of the Holy Ghost. So they're going into the book of Second Esther, but real quick, I just want to hear this.
Let's lock in.
The man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed
Have you ever been declined for a
Sorry, we got this little mess going on. Hold on, sorry about that. Just give me a second. Here we go.
Committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death.
Right, so that's what he was supposed to do, and we all agree that he was a just man keeping the commandments. According to you guys, you would say he wasn't keeping them commandments. Now, Hassad, you can interject on whatever point you made, and they can bring it back,
okay.
And then we can continue.
Wait, that's a moot point, because as you see, it states it right here in the scripture, right? It says that, but while he thought on these things, behold, it means that being a just man, he gave these matters consideration because he was going to do something. The angel of the Lord had to appear to him to make him change his mind.
So
because it said, fear not to take Mary unto thee. Why would he be fearing to take Mary unto thee? Because he was like, hey, he was getting ready to say the situation. He was getting ready to tell the law.
So the angel of the Lord told him to break the law?
No.
That's what you're saying.
Why am I telling you? No, the angel of the Lord didn't tell him to break the law. The angel of the Lord was telling him that, hey, Mary did not get pregnant by another man. That's what the angel of the Lord is telling him.
Real quick, what you're saying is that he thought about breaking the law. That's what you're saying.
He says why he was thinking on all the stuff that was going on.
Right. So look, putting her away privately, you said means to divorce her secretly. And not
that's right.
So
because he was not willing to make her a public example.
So that's the argument. So they're saying that Joseph could not have been the baby's father because he would have broke the law. And again, when you're dealing with the Most High does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. So they're haggling between and oranges, and what the law say this, if you're a virgin and you do this, then you're supposed to be put to death. Well, you mean to tell me the angel told Joseph to break the law? No, the angel told him to stay his hand because that which she was conceived was of the Holy Ghost. But they're still believing, and when you can argue this point right here, are they really a part of us? These are people that believe in the Messiah. Can you really say that? I mean, because how can you be that versed in scriptures and then turn around and not believe in the virgin birth? How does that work? I'm asking you guys. I'm really asking today. I really want to know, how does that work?
It don't work.
Because guess what? When the disciples came up on the Messiah, and he was walking around with them, And they told him, you know, it's against the law. You didn't wash your hands. They got on him about washing his hands. He looked at him like they was crazy. He said, what did he do to break the law on the Sabbath day? The Messiah, let me look. He said, if you know what you're talking about, I am the Lord of the Sabbath.
I think there was a couple of occasions. One time where they were eating corn.
That's what I'm trying to find. Yep, absolutely. He healed on the Sabbath. They said, oh, wait a minute, hold on. You ain't so we can't even haggle about the law. Because he was the Lord of the law. He said, I am the Messiah of the law. That's the whole issue. That's why I said, when you're dealing with these groups, some of these groups are sounding like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They sounded just like them.
Yep. But if I'm not mistaken, it is in the law that you are allowed to do that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But what it says, Luke 13, when he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift herself up. When Yehoshua saw her, he called unto her and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified Yah. It says, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Yehoshua had healed on the Sabbath and said unto the people, these are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So if we're talking about breaking the law, you mean the angel told Joseph to break the law? The Messiah did it. He did what he wanted to do on the Sabbath day. Then the Most High said unto them, said, thou hypocrites, doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, who Satan has vowed, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? He called them hypocrites. But you know what? Because they refused to believe that this is possible. Because this is an example of the Pharisees and the Sadducees using the direct letter of the law to be able to say, oh, wait a minute, that can't be right. Because the law say if you a virgin and you come up pregnant, you're supposed to be stoned. So let's watch and see what Joseph did to be able to see whether the Catholic Church really put this stuff in here. And these are some of your largest groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they will argue you down, but they believe that the Messiah was Joseph's son. That's incredible. It's 2 hours of this stuff going on. 2 hours. 2 hours. This is the stuff. Go ahead, brother. You're Rosh Lama. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're good, sis. I was just saying that. It's just incredible. It's just incredible how we do. But, you know, and I'm going to throw this in there, but the scriptures actually says that, you know, when Israel is delivered, and I came at odds because I saw two different things, and I'm trying to remember where I saw them at. It says every one of them that is found written in the book of life, that those are the ones that are going to be delivered. And then you take in context, it also says that A remnant is a small part. We see all these millions of people, so therefore, you know, and then we put that in context and go look at that stumbling block that have been casted before people, and there's a reason why people are being directed to the path that they're being directed to, and they just don't see it.
And why don't they see it? Why? That's the question I'm asking you. Why is it that the Most High has fixed it where these groups of people don't see it? And these are the largest groups that you have in our nation. Why? Why did he fix it like this?
Because
I think it's always been. I think it's always been a contrast. You always had that other side, the two sides, even back in the Messiah's days. Like you said, the Sadducees during that time, you know, went against the Messiah. You know, some of the things that he did. So it seems like always there's a contrast of some kind in all the eras.
That'll work. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is Brother Yerushalayim? That'll work.
Yeah. I mean, it just kills, you know, because like I said earlier, there's just so many people out here. There's these people out here. It's just a few, but they're leading a lot of people. And then they're misusing, misquoting scriptures. They're not taking things out of context, even though they're telling their people they are in context. They're taking things out of context and using it for their own thing. And that's part of the stumbling block. You have to be able to discern that for yourself. You know, you have to be able to discern truth. And if you really, really pray and you have the Holy Spirit, you have that in you, you're going to discern truth from falsehood. You're going to do that. So then that goes into telling you that maybe it's not as many people as we think that have the Holy Spirit. They don't be able to discern the truth from a lie, because if you're able to discern truth from a lie, then you will wind up in the truth.
And like we did yesterday, there is so many places in those scriptures that reference him not being of man, that's not from man. Mm-hmm. When he was standing in front of you, it's too many scriptures that validate that. It's too many scriptures when he was standing in front of Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. How the heck can he be Joseph's son and he got a kingdom outside of the world? Then you know what they'll say? Yeah. That's because it's Israel's turn to have a kingdom once the Gentile kingdom is over. And it's like, no, that ain't what he said. He said, do you think the citizens of my kingdom would allow you to do this to me? If my kingdom was of this world, of my world, they would come and they would fight against you. So it's just too many instances where it's almost like they said the Catholic Church put this part in, and then to substantiate it, they put that part in, and then to substantiate it, they put that part. That's why I said, and I'm saying this to the audience that's listening, please pray before you enter some of these groups. Please go before the Most High and ask him to lead and guide you correctly to where you need to go. Because if they're using the argument about the law being broken, they can't even stand on that. Because, again, Matthew chapter 12, it says, at that time, Jehoshaphat went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ear of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. They broke the law. Watch what he says. He says, and he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a hungered and they were with him, how he entered into the house of the Most High and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. But ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now how in the heck is Joseph's son the Lord of the Sabbath? It don't make sense.
I just don't believe that they're reading. They're not reading. They can't be, because, like you said, this stuff is so clear. Some things are debatable, but this one is not. I just think the scriptures are very clear.
But they study the writings. fire. They study these groups, got YouTube clips out there. These is young guys in their 30s. They studying. My son listened to them. And I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy on my house. Oh, my goodness. They studying. They studying every day. They studying. They got study groups out there, young people out there following them. They studying, but they didn't get it by themselves because there's some older groups out there that's been saying the same thing for years.
You know, Sociana, we studied too when we was in the Christian church. And you know we did. And we still didn't see it. They're not seeing it because they're not supposed to see it. I mean, maybe that sounds too simple, but they're not seeing it because they're not supposed to see it at this point in time. Because everything is worked out for his will. I don't think they see it because he doesn't want them to see it at this time.
Yeah, and they still blinded at this time.
Wow. You know, it's just. And there's one group on there, one of the guys on there talking about this is why I learned mostly from them. They be daggerly in false doctrine. They are really teaching these people this stuff. They are. They really are teaching people this stuff. They are. They really are. It's a shame. It really is a shame. It really is a shame, but, I mean, you know, like I said, it's many different facets to this walk. The devil, and I'm not saying these brothers are, don't get me wrong, I'm not calling these brothers the devil, but the devil is in this movement just like he's in everything else. And you got to really be careful with what you learn. You have got to go to the Most High. You're going to have to go to him, and you're going to have to ask him to show you. Because this, I believe what it says. You know, and all of this stuff that has been going around here, with the pants wearing and all the condemnation and all the stuff, you've got the devil over here just like he is over in everything else. This is not exempt from people being deceived. And how in the world? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how they can take that scripture. How in the world is anything born from man the Lord of the Sabbath? That one scripture right there is like, that's not making sense. But I guess that scripture ain't real either. But I mean, you know, I understand. I'm not gonna, because they can't see it. It's just like we told the sister yesterday with the ones who don't believe in Yahweh Shah. They can't see it. There's nothing they can do to see it. And then, like we said yesterday, it's simple as ABC 1, 2, 3. Just what it say. And y'all said this. Guess what? He stepped in his own creation, his own story, and he did what he wanted to do. He stepped in his own creation and his own story and did what he wanted to do. And the Pharisees and Sadducees was there to walk behind him. Everything he did to point to, oh, you broke the law. He said, I'm the Lord of the law. What you talking about? Man, you mean to tell me the angel told Joseph to break the law? No, the angel told him, don't touch her. That's what the angel told him to do. Don't touch her. But again, you know, who are we? According to them, I ain't even supposed to be teaching. I done heard so many men say women ain't supposed to teach. They take that same scripture that Paul is talking to the Gentile church with in Corinth, and they say the same thing. It's just dog. It's the same dogmatic teaching that we went through in Christianity. It's the same thing. It's just dressed up with another name on it. It's the same thing. But the Most High clearly said in the last days, sons and daughters would prophesy. What does that mean? Teach. But like I said, you got to be careful, man. Y'all know, you guys know, this is, we getting down to the wire now. And it's a whole lot of folks. It's so much separation and division, and with us, with these type of things, that, you know, that's why, you know, when you do come out of Christianity with the things that you do know to be true, you got to hold dear to it, because they'll make you second guess your very thought. It's like, what? Which they've never done with me, but I'm saying people who are not rooted and grounded, it's like, no, this is what it say. The scriptures are not open for private interpretation. You know, it's just, it's crazy. I don't know. You know? Crazy. They don't realize he is Israel. That is Israel walking. That is Israel. That's why that script, that class yesterday was so important. That is Israel. How can he be of the seed of David and from the, what did he say? How can he be from the seed of David and, let me see what it say here, according to the flesh. That is Israel. That's how it started. All of they, and what they failed to realize is Israel didn't start on earth. We never did. We never started on earth. But again, that's a whole other lesson. That's all by itself. That's another lesson all by itself. That's all by itself. It's incredible, but that's what they believe, and that's how they, I might give it some thought and listen to it. You know, so that we'll be able to break that down. But we believe what the Bible say, just like it say it. It's going to be a very interesting day when this stuff come out. When he finally do come, it's going to be very, very interesting to see who's who. Because one thing we forgot, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their descendants is still here too. You know that, right?
Yeah, most definitely they still here. Bloodline wasn't cut off.
Yeah, they descendants are still here. They walk in the earth too, and they claim to be Israelites, just like the Edomites descendants is claiming to be Israelites, just like they was back in the day, just like the Canaanites that was with us that claimed to be Israelites that mixed in with us. Everybody's descendants are still here. Because Christ said it when he was here, when the Messiah was here. What did he say? He said, truly I tell you, watch what he says. He said, truly I tell you, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So this generation is just regenerating itself, because we got to still go through it. And these are the same people. These are the same folks. They're the same folks. And they the same people. And they arguing the same point. You can always tell them, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you can always tell what's in their heart. All you got to do is listen to what they say. That's why I don't engage in debates. I don't engage in debates because it's no good. It's no purpose to it. Because either you're going to be on this side or you're going to be on that side. But whatever generation or whatever you came from, this is what you're going to have to deal with. This is it. It is. This is what you're going to have to deal with. And Christ said it. He said it. The Messiah said it. He said it. Yes, indeed. He said, this generation will not pass. He said, verily, so likewise, it says, so likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. He said, and verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So we know that these are the same people. If that statement is true, these are the people that have been regenerated, and you can tell what seed they are of. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. No offense to nobody, because everybody think they right. But we're going to see in a minute. We're going to see. We're going to see in a minute. We're getting ready to see. And that's why it seems to be so fragmented, because it's that same generation. That same conflict is there. And it is, ain't it, y'all? That same conflict is there. The conflict that the Messiah went through when he was on the earth with the Israelites, with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, with the Edomites that was trying to be Jews, and with the Romans. It's all still right. We still in the same conflict, ain't we?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, sure is. Mm-hmm. And the more that we learn, we see more of the conflict.
Yeah. Because we that generation. Woo, that wasn't no lie. We are that generation. He said it wasn't going to pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And we just have regenerated ourselves because we still going through the same generation. It's the same one. That's crucial. That is so crucial. And you can tell by the people what they're teaching, because they out there. Everybody's trying to be number one. Everybody's trying to be the great group, and everybody trying to be the greatest. And everybody doing something different. And, you know, you're just sitting back looking like, wow, you know, this is deep. It's the great conflict, and it's still there. The same group of people. You can always see them. The same group. You know, and I don't debate, because you're playing your part. That's the part you're supposed to play. The Most High wrote you in, and that's your part you play. That's what you're supposed to believe. That's the group you're supposed to be with. So like I said, make sure you're where you're supposed to be. Because I don't want to get caught up. I'm erring on. I'm going to do what it say. I'm going to believe what it say. Mm-mm. That's something, y'all. Whew. Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's just interesting. You know, we learn, we live and we learn. I'm telling you, it's a lot out here. And you really do have to be able to answer that question. It's just something. It's a lot out here. It is. You know, so and that lesson yesterday, it validated Israel, his name, his presence, his purpose, the whole part of it. Even the scripture that said a body was prepared for him. Scripture said a body was prepared for him to dwell in. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. In the same beginning was with Yah, and all things that was made by him. Listen, how you're going to have to scratch all that. No, no. Just saying. It's crucial. But praise the Most High for the truth, you know, for what he has given us as truth. Because all, like I said, all these parts, everybody got to play their part. And you're not going to change their mind. And you're not going to make them see it, because they're not supposed to see it. That's the part that they have to play. And those are our largest groups, and those are some of the biggest groups in our community. It's incredible, I'm telling you. No, it's something to see, I'm telling you. That's why, you know, like we said, you never know who's who. You never know who's who. You know, it's just crucial. It is really something. Anybody else have a comment, you know, before, you know, because I'm trying to find that scripture. It was a scripture that we read in one of our readings where it was talking about deception and how large it is when people are being deceived, how large amount of people follow them. Brother Uriah, do you remember? I know it's in Isaiah. I'm trying to find it. No. If I can't find it today, I'll have it next time, but I'm looking for it right now. But yeah, he said the groups The followings are large. When people are having deception, their groups are extremely large. Their followings are great. You just gotta do what he say do. You just gotta keep doing what you say, because it's never in the numbers. It's never in the numbers and the amount of people that follow. It's never. He said, "Great is the wide is the gate," and he said, "Many shall go therein." He said, "But straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and you might find a few every once in a while. Every once in a while they might make it. But when you got everybody running toward the same thing, you better take notice and look up for real. You better take notice and look up." Something. Crucial. It's just serious. Ooh. Ah. Gotta pray. We gotta always pray. Always pray. Always go before the Most High. And don't, because the one thing that the Messiah said, he said, "Let no man deceive you." Ain't that what he said?
Yep, that's what he said.
Yeah, he did. "Let no man deceive you." He said it repeatedly.
Don't let no man deceive you, or woman, it don't matter who it is. Don't let nobody deceive you. Get in that word and stay in that word. Don't let no man deceive you. So, that's just some powerful stuff. I'm so glad, that I have had the experiences that I've had, and the studying that I've had, and the Most High, and you guys are, the meeting of the minds. Everybody comes together, because when we come together with that mind and we get in that word, that's a powerful story. I don't even understand how they can miss that part of the story, because that's the most, Israel is the most powerful part of the story. I'm serious. How do you miss him? He is the story. I just really don't know. That's why I said, when we really start teaching about the Messiah and the power that he yielded and the knowledge that he had and the supernaturalness that he had, it'll all, just like it was real plain on the Sabbath, it's going to be just as plain. And you're going to be like, wow. 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 I just hope, like I said, we got a lot to learn. We don't know it all, but the little bit that he has given us, it has truly been a blessing. So, anybody else have anything to say before we've dismissed for the evening? I mean, we done went over some things and talked about some things. Anybody else want to push one, please feel free to do so. Please feel free to do so. All right, well, if not, it's Brother Uriah, Brother Yerushalayim, you guys have any announcements to make? Anybody?
No, I don't have any announcements.
No, I don't have any.
All right, you guys. Well, guess what? You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you on our regularly scheduled programs next week. Come study with us. Our email address is our website is www.noy for Nation of Yehuda, and then the word monarch.us. So go on our website. All of our information for classes and everything is on there, and we look forward to studying with you. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. Good night.
Shalom.